Morning, I preached over where Steve preaches, and he preached here, and I left the building. I just, right after the invitation, I walk out the door to get over here, and this morning I was talking about the good hand of the Lord that was upon Nehemiah, the hand of providence, and I thought about that because every red light turned green as I got to it this morning. And so I made it just fine. We appreciate Steve being here today. It's good to see his mom and dad. I enjoyed being over at Sycamore. I've told you that Sycamore is beginning to build this year and renovate. And we're excited for our sister faithful congregations when they build for the Lord. And so the elders asked me to present about three lessons dealing with stewardship. So this morning I talked about one of my favorite passages in the book of Nehemiah when he challenged the people, "Let us rise and build." And next Sunday, the last in the series over there will be on opening the windows of heaven from Malachi chapter 3. All right, turn your Bibles this morning to chapter 14 of Mark. I'm going to read that in just a moment. But first of all, let me tell you about next weekend and the marriage seminar with Sam Jones. Some of you know Brother Sammy Jones. Well qualified, taught at Freed Hardeman for a long time. Now he does a lot of these marriage seminars, and you'll thoroughly enjoy him. Now, some of you might think, well, I've been married 50 years. How can I improve it? After 50 years, I don't need this. But I'm suggesting to you that there be a lot of good things in this seminar for any marriage, for any family, for any home. It deals with so many of the principles that we need to know and follow and obey to make our families what God wants the family to be. So that's next weekend, 2021st, and keep that in mind. Today, chapter 14 of the book of Mark. We have been in the book of Mark now about 9 months. We're nearing the end of it, and we're in the last week of our Lord's life on this earth. That last week, beginning with the triumphal entry, and then Mark gives us just one paragraph right after another of events that occurred during that busy, that significant last week here that culminated in his death. And here in this chapter, there's some sad things. There's some good things. I want to read the first 9 verses, and then we'll go back and look at it a little more carefully. We don't have much time this morning. After 2 days, it was the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world,
What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. And I know Steve and Jim, other preachers, have preached many times from this great text. She has done what she could. Well, this is a sad chapter at the beginning here in Mark, because these verses right at the beginning, I believe, display men in all of their ugliness when there's hatred in their hearts. And there's no doubt about these religious leaders who hated Jesus. And according to verses 1 and 2, these Jews here are fed up with Jesus and His preaching. And they want to do away with Him. And they want Him dead. And they are doing anything possible to bring that to reality. Verse 1 says that they want to take Him by trickery. Or one translation says craft. The word craft here refers to a trick. They want to trick our Lord. So they're devising a plot to trap Jesus so they can have Him executed. Now, why are they so angry? Why are these religious leaders so angry? Let me suggest two or three things here. First, they are upset because Jesus has exposed their hypocrisy. We've noticed that in the last few weeks as we have studied here from the Gospel of Mark. They are upset at Him. They claim to be spiritual men, godly men. And Jesus has proved them to be nothing more than religious phonies, these rabbis and scribes and Pharisees. Jesus made a fool out of them, even before the common people. And they'll not stand for that. But secondly, they're angry because Jesus is hurting their business. Now, these religious leaders really had it made. They control the commerce at the temple. They approved who could sell the sheep and the birds and other items that were offered in sacrifices. So they even charged a fee for them to sell there and for the money changers to set up their booths there, their tents there. And so the house of the Lord had become a house of merchandise rather than a place of prayer. And when Jesus threw out those money changers, overturned their tables, they determined in their hearts that Jesus had to go. And so, as we move through this passage, we'll discover some powerful truths. But what I really want to center on this morning is what happened in the house of Simon the leper. And I'm going to call our lesson a demonstration of extravagant love. We don't have much time, so let's get right into it. We're going to see extravagant love, the kind of love that every redeemed heart ought to have toward our Savior. And this ought to motivate all of us in our love for the Lord. That it would be an extreme love. That it would be extravagant love. So let's look into it for a little while. First of all, let's see the demonstration of it. They're at the house of a fellow whose name is Simon the leper. There were several named Simon in those days. And these events took place in a little town called Bethany. We were there just a few weeks ago. And in Jesus' day, Bethany was about 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem. But now, Jerusalem has incorporated Bethany, and you cannot see when one ends and the other begins. And even Bethlehem, that's not very far, is almost incorporated. Jerusalem has grown like you would not believe. When I was there in 2000, they had 600,000 people. Today, they have about 900,000 people. So that's a growth of 300,000 in these 18 years. Jews are coming back to Jerusalem, back to Israel from all over. So it's a growing place.
But Bethany, in the day of Jesus, was his favorite place. He could go to Bethany in the home of friends, and he could enjoy a good meal. There was Martha, the good cook. And there was Mary, always sat at the feet of Jesus and listened intently to what he had to say. But here on this occasion, Mary, this woman, takes an alabaster box in the house of Simon the leper. Now, I have an idea that Simon the leper had been healed by Jesus, had been saved by our Lord. He had been made whole. And he's giving this feast as a demonstration of his gratitude to our Lord Jesus. And I thought about, my, why are we here today? We're here today to worship God. We're here today to extol the name of our Lord Jesus. We're here today to look into His Word. Why? Because we are grateful. We're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful we have been rescued. We're thankful that we have received the forgiveness of our sins. Now, we're told in John's account of this same event that Martha was serving. Lazarus, you recall, had been raised from the dead by our Lord Jesus. And then there is Mary. And in fact, Mary, who performs this demonstration of extravagant love, really and truly loved the Lord Jesus. She wanted to be close to Him. Every time, you know, when Martha was serving, Mary was there listening to the words of Jesus. And Jesus once said, Martha, you are cumbered about with serving. Of course, Martha was a good woman too. But he said, Mary has chosen the good part. Now, it's a beautiful scene here. They're eating at the table in Simon the leper's house. They're at meat. They're at the table. They're enjoying this fellowship together. It's an atmosphere of gratitude and appreciation here on this occasion. And I thought about how encouraging that would be to our Master who was on His way to the cross. He knew what was ahead of Him. And so, they're here. By the way, in my experience in the church, in all my years, some of the most precious times have been when I have been at people's table, gathering around the dinner table, enjoying a meal together, talking about things of common interest, building up one another in the faith. It's always a grand and wonderful thing. So here's a scene of love. Jesus is surrounded for the most part by people who genuinely love Him right here on this occasion. But now, as He sits there at this meal, Mary enters the room. She has with her an alabaster box filled with precious ointment. Now, we're told that this ointment was very precious. The idea, it was very, very, very expensive. And she broke that flask and she poured the contents of it upon the head of Jesus. John tells us that she also anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. An extravagant demonstration of love that I think deserves just a few minutes of our time this morning. Now notice, it is said that there was a substance there called spikenard, or we could just say nard. I did a little checking on that. It's a red tinted ointment that was drawn from a plant that grows in India. So it had come from a distance. It was not something grown nearby in a garden. It was a perfume that was used in the embalming process. And it was so expensive that only the wealthy could afford to purchase it. And we're told at verse 5 that it was worth 300 denarii or 300 pence. Did you know that was a year's salary for the ordinary folks in Jesus' day? A year's salary. So Mary's gift in today's economy would be worth about $25,000. A very expensive gift at that time.
So she entered the room, broke the neck of that flask, poured some of the ointment on the Lord's head, the rest upon his feet. Then she fell down before Jesus, washed the Lord's feet, and wiped his feet with the hair of her head. And the Bible says that the house was filled with the odor of the anointment and of the ointment here. Now, why did Mary do this? I guess that'd be a good question to ask right here. Why did she do this? Was she trying to impress the people gathered there in the house of Simon, you think? Why did she do this? Well, I think this extravagant gift here was for the benefit of Christ alone. In other words, she was thinking only of her Lord. She anointed the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. She was making a statement. What kind of a statement? Let me suggest three or four things here. First of all, she was making a statement about her commitment to him. Mary was committed. When she broke that flask, there was no going back. The entire contents of that vessel was poured out upon our Lord himself. Her commitment was unconditional and complete. Incidentally, that's a challenge to us. Love commits. Love commits. She was making a statement too about his value to her. How she looked upon her Savior. She had probably saved her entire life for that precious ointment. She was probably saving it for her own burial. And when she broke that flask and poured out the contents, she was telling Jesus something special. She was telling him, "You mean more to me than all of the world." Good question to ask ourselves today. How much does our Savior mean to us? How valuable is Jesus to us? Is he the pearl of great price? He was to this woman. But now she was also making a statement about her value to herself. By this act, Mary was demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation. Let me explain what I'm talking about. She sacrificed her pride here in order to serve him. And she was saying by this action, "I love you so much that I don't care what interpretation others place upon it." Two things she did to prove that truth. I understand from my reading and research that only prostitutes were seen in public with their hair down in those days. But at that moment in time, because of her love for the Master, she didn't care about what anybody thought. She merely wanted to express her extravagant love for the Lord Jesus. But now here's a second consideration. Only slaves washed the feet of others. When a person came to a home in those days, you would offer them water so they could wash their own feet, or if you had slaves, those slaves would reach down and wash the feet. So Mary here that day took the place of a slave before her Lord. She is making a statement about her humility in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she was making a statement about the value of her possessions. To Mary, nothing at all mattered in the world. Nothing could compare with the value to her as Jesus. None of her possessions were her priorities. Jesus was her priority. Oh my, doesn't that challenge us? You know, sometimes it seems to me that we love the Lord when it's convenient, when everything's in place. Sometimes we can use any excuse you can think of just not to come
to worship God on the Lord's Day.
If it rains, if the weather is not too good, if I'm not feeling the best, you know, the extravagance of her love here, that's what really stands out to me in this entire chapter. But now, she was making a statement about His worthiness, that is our Lord, for worship and service. She did it because she was thankful. She was thankful that Jesus was her Redeemer. He had saved her soul from sin. She was filled with love through this very act. She demonstrated that. So, she was overwhelmed by her love for Him. I know one thing. This helps me in my life to see what kind of love there ought to be in our hearts for the Lord. So, now, look at your own life in light of Mary's statement of faith. Are you committed to Christ? Is your commitment total, or is it just a kind of a convenient thing? Is Jesus more valuable to you than the things you possess? Houses, lands, clothing, things of that nature? Is He worth more to you than your pride? Have you reached a place in your walk with Him where you no longer care what people say about you? You know, a lot of people think we're crazy for being here today. On a pretty day, many would say, the golf course is more enticing to me. Or this particular place where I can just go and sit and relax. So a lot of people think that we're fanatics. Fanatics for our worship and for our service to the Lord Jesus, who has done so much for us. How do we feel about all of those things? Well, we know how Mary felt, and we ought to be motivated by that. But before I leave this lesson, there were those that day that didn't appreciate it. And one of them, one of the ringleaders, was one of his own, Judas. Judas complained, Lord, this is waste. Why didn't she sell that and give the proceeds to the poor? Jesus said, you'll always have the poor. And that's right. They're all around us. And He's not saying by this that the poor aren't important. He's not saying by this action for us not to be concerned about the poor. But He said, I'm not going to be with you always. So really and truly, she was anointing Him in view of His death. His death was very near. The hours for our Lord to give His life a ransom for all of us. Well, what a great lesson it is for all of us. And I have many other things I could say today, but we'll just stop right here. But let's remember this woman and her sacrifice. And remember this, love is extravagant when it comes to the Lord. Thank you for being with us. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we're thankful that You've given us this story here in the Gospel of Mark. We're grateful, our Father, for this woman, for her devotion and for her love. We pray that as we go from this place today, that we could find areas in our life where we can demonstrate extravagant love. We're thankful for all of the efforts of Your people to build and to serve Your cause in this world. Keep us in the hollow of Your hand. In the name of Christ, we humbly pray.